Welcome back to another episode of The Growth Equation. Well, in today's episode, we got to bring on Anthony Melito, who leads product marketing and business strategy at Intuit. Have to say, one of the best guests that we ever brought on that had a completely interesting perspective that I think you guys are going to love. Anthony and I got to have a really interesting conversation around product marketing, as we've been noticing it's been a growing discipline within the tech scene. Understanding what is product marketing, how's the different name from marketing to product management, had some really, really great conversations around that, about how you build a team, what metrics they should be focusing on. And then we completely went in the other direction. We had a chance to talk about sustainable businesses and what teams should be focused on around the right metrics, the right things that they should be doing to help build sustainability that leads to growth, especially as we've been going through this like very difficult time from an economy perspective right now. So I'm really, really excited to bring on Anthony. I think you guys are going to love his perspective and can't wait for you guys to have a listen. So let's get started.
Hey, Anthony, welcome to the Growth Location Podcast.
Hey, Greg, thanks so much for having me. This will be fun.
Yeah. How are things on your end?
Things are good. You know, we're chatting at such an interesting time. I think we're in, you know, week five of work from home and the situation going on, obviously, with COVID-19. So it's been an interesting time to chat. I'm sure we'll get into that as we kind of go forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I know personally, I'm super excited to bring you on the podcast today. Full disclosure, you know, Anthony and I worked together for many years, but I think he has one of the most interesting backgrounds. And I know our listeners are going to kind of get a ton of value out of that. So I would think I would just love for you to kind of start off by just kind of saying like, hey, just maybe tell a little bit about yourself and some of your background.
Sure. So let's start kind of most recently. So as of right now, I am the product marketing lead at Intuit Canada, specifically on the consumer group business. So consumer group includes TurboTax and a little bit of Mint. I won't say I spend a ton of time on the Mint product, but definitely focus most of my time on TurboTax. I've been at Intuit now for over 4.5 years and kind of worked my way across different marketing roles. And recently, kind of over the last year and a half, I've built out a product marketing team specifically for the consumer group. Before then, I spent some time at BlackBerry, actually. So there, I kind of held a bunch of different roles. I kind of spent some time on the e-commerce side of the business. I went more into the kind of the retail and channel side. I did a little bit of digital. So I kind of touched a bunch of facets kind of at BlackBerry before I transitioned over to Intuit. So yeah, it's been a great 4.5 years so far.
And it sounds very much like, would you consider yourself more of a specialist or more of a jack of all trades type of person?
You know, my perspective on my career, at least early at BlackBerry, just given how big of the organization it was at the time, is that, you know, I thought it was very important for me to go into different facets of marketing. And I think that's kind of what guided my career, at least in the early stages of my time there. So I moved around quite a bit. Obviously, it was a very exciting place to be. So I got some time. I actually started on the e-commerce side of the business, did some work on the digital side as kind of we kind of worked up a direct-to-consumer storefront. And then from there, I moved into kind of the channel role. And I thought, you know, that was very interesting for me to understand kind of how you work with partnerships and how, you know, you can support selling into large kind of national retail chains. So I did some of that. And then I kind of came back to the e-commerce side of the business. I was so interested in kind of self-serve and you know, direct to consumer and kind of ended my career at BlackBerry at the time. Yeah, I mean, to answer your question directly, to me, I've always looked at, you know, the generalist side of things is kind of where I thought it was most important. I think as you kind of look at your career and kind of where you wanted to go, I think having the ability to touch different areas of marketing, for me personally, I thought was going to be something that was going to help me.
And then now with obviously at Intuit, you know, you're kind of helping to lead that product marketing team. I think, you know, when you look at product marketing as an example, you know, obviously it's like it's a newer function that's rapidly growing, especially within the tech world. You know, how do you view and like, when someone asks like what product marketing is, because, you know, for a lot of people, it could mean a bunch of different things.
Yeah, it certainly does. And, you know, I don't think, you know, there's an easy answer to that question. And I'm sure we'll probably talk about that as well. You know, my view on product marketing, and I'm sure I read this somewhere, I don't think I came up with this, but we're the voice of the product out to the market and we're the voice of the customer into the organization. I think that's kind of how I think about product marketing generally. Now, if you want to go a little bit more in detail than that, it really is about just making sure that your product or service connects to your most ideal customer and it delivers the promise that you're intended for it to do. And I think, you know, the word ideal there is very important. As we think about customers and acquiring customers, you know, my perspective is there's not all customers are the right customer. And I think you need to be very descriptive on who you want to go after and who you want to bring into the organization and who you want to serve. So, I mean, that is really what product marketing is all about. in my mind, there's value-adding customers, so customers that you can bring into the organization and bring into your company that you can serve that will add value. And then there's maybe value-subtracting customers, customers that, you know, if you focus too much on, you might notice that they can be distracting, they can get you off strategy, they can erode margins. So I think, you know, obviously making sure that you're going after the right customer is really what product marketing is about, and making sure that the product delivers exactly what those customers are looking for.
And then just on that, like, what do you think the value that like a product marketing team will drive for the organization?
Well, you know, it really depends on the organization and kind of what they're looking for. Again, like product marketing based on folks I've talked to in the field can vary drastically from one organization to the next. I mean, product marketers can touch everything from pricing to, you know, customer discovery to research. So there's just really so much that product marketing can deliver. But, you know, in my mind, it really is a strategic function. That is really what product marketing is about. It's more on the soft skill side. So certainly, you know, it's not like a developer who's got, you know, the ability to do things like code, but it is more on the soft skills. So understanding and connecting with customers, understanding kind of what their problems are, and then making sure that you can find ways to communicate the value proposition and of what your product can deliver out to them. So those are things like messaging and making sure you're talking to them in the right place, positioning and making sure you're occupying the right place in customers' minds. I mean, that really is what, in a lot of cases, product marketing is in general. But like I said, organizations focus on maybe pricing and actually have a lot of pricing strategies. Some organizations, pricing might fall to the finance team. Product marketing might be responsible for things like packaging. So not necessarily physical packaging, but bundles and how the product is represented to customers. In some organizations, that might be product management. So it really is about finding kind of what the organization needs. And that's really where I think product marketing is going to deliver the most value. It's certainly not going to be the same from organization to organization, but really it boils down to three things: connecting with your customers and making sure you know who they are, communicating the value proposition that your product delivers to your customers, and then finally, developing the strategy to enable the go-to-market teams, so the marketing teams that are focused on the channels to deliver those customers and bring them into the organization. To me, that's really kind of, I think, the real value that product marketing brings.
And then I think just on that, like one kind of follow-up question I would have is, as you've gone kind of through this like kind of journey of like kind of building like the product marketing team within into it on the consumer side of the business, you know, what were some of the things that like kind of you learned? And if, you know, we have people listening right now and they're thinking about trying to build a team from scratch, like what would you say as like the core things that they should be focusing on to build a successful team out?
Well, you know, I think to start, and this maybe seems pretty straightforward, but I think you really got to stop and ask yourself if you really need a product marketing team. You know, I'm biased, obviously. I lead a team of product marketers. So I'm biased to say, of course, you know, that's something that every organization needs. But I don't say that I would lean in there right away. And there's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, you know, we just talked about how ambiguous the role could be. So just by identifying and kind of, you know, product marketing is a relatively new field. So just kind of being, you know, attracted to kind of what could be the shiny penny of product marketing and bringing that into the organization too soon might not necessarily be the right thing. Again, just because it is so ambiguous. So you got to really step back and say, do I need this right now? If you have one single product with a product marketing, with a product management structure that really is kind of right now focused on the customer and balance between the customer and the product, if you have a really strong experienced design team that's thinking about research and product design, if you have a really strong content strategy team that's focused on those types of things, you know, you might not actually need a product marketing function right away. You might actually want to wait a little bit of time to see kind of how things mature and to see whether you're delivering effectively with what you have in place. But if you take a step back and you say, well, there's definitely an opportunity, I think you really got to understand what it is that you want product marketing to deliver for the organization. And like I said earlier, there's three kind of core things. And if you feel like those are the gaps, then certainly it might be time to bring a product marketing in.
And would you look at them from a product marketing perspective of like, what do you think like the main metric they should be focused on or like accountable for to like try to move within the organization? Because I think there's a lot of, you know, debate within product marketing of like, you know, we see that there's a benefit. We need this type of function, but we don't know like what they're actually accountable for. You know, it can get very challenging when you're trying to build a go-to-market strategy as an example for like a new product. So what would be your take specifically on that?
Yeah. Again, like, you know, in a lot of cases, you know, in some cases, there's more questions than answers here. And again, I know I feel a bit like a broken record, but it really does depend on the organization. I mean, if you think about what product marketing can own, gosh, the potential metrics are so vast. They can, you know, focus on macro things like thinking about revenue and customers. But gosh, those are so high level, aren't they? you know, you really want to be able to understand and drive the metrics that will, or drive the inputs that drive those output metrics. So, you know, but some people focus on that. And I will say, honestly, this is something I'm thinking about and working through with my team right now. You know, it might sound humble, but I don't think I have a right answer here. Right now, we probably spend with my team, we focus a lot on kind of those output metrics like revenue and customers. And I'm continuing to work through and adapt to understand whether those are right. So it's a journey that I'm going on as well. But outside of the macro things, there are micro elements as well. Getting into things like win rates, if you're a B2B company, thinking about things like retention, ARPC, that's another level down from some of the micro elements. Gosh, you can go tactical even more so than that. Getting people to sign up for a product, how many entries there are into a product. You know, I've heard other product marketers think about things like press coverage or attaching in upgrades. Like, there really is such a vast potential impact that product marketing can have. But I think it's got to go back to the fundamentals and kind of where we originally started. You really need to understand and be clear on what value you're looking for product marketing to deliver to the organization. And that is going to be specific to the organization that you work for and that you're obviously in terms of the products that you serve and how you serve those customers. Right now, like I said, we're focused in a lot of cases on driving growth and through customers and ultimately driving revenue for the organization. But we are taking, and I am then spending some time to explore other things that we could be thinking about more at a kind of an input level to think about things like maybe there are specific tactics that can help us drive some of that growth that might not necessarily be, you know, channel and investment level. Maybe they could be more so on the product side, because obviously, you know, product marketing straddles, you know, go to market and product management. So, you know, it's if I'm being honest, like I said, I'm working through it in real time right now, but it does really depend on kind of the organization and thinking about what they need.
I think that's a really great, like, honest answer there. And I think it leads into, like, kind of segues into, like, a next question really, really great, which is you're talking about, like, how product marketing sits in, like, this functional area, and it kind of touches a whole bunch of teams from a marketing perspective, from, you know, if it's customer support or customer success, from a product perspective. You know, how have you gone about, at least from, like, a team perspective, and putting the right processes in place for the product marketing function to thrive and to be able to, like, drive value of an organization by working with these different, like, teams? So as an example, like, you know, there's probably a lot of overlap between product engineering and product marketing, and, like, who owns what of that type of thing. So what would you say is, like, if you're building out this specific function in the organization, you're building up the team, like, how do you maneuver around that, making sure that, like, there's the right alignment and process in place with just, like, key stakeholders?
That's a really, really great question. Product management and product marketing, I think, generally is probably enough of a topic for a separate whole podcast. So I won't dive too much into that. You know, my view is that product marketing really is, if we think about a wheel, it's kind of the hub of the wheel, right? There's a bunch of spokes, and those spokes are the partnerships across the organization. And frankly, that's what I love about product marketing is, you know, there's no days really the same. I could be spending one day or a certain part of my day working with product management, and I could spend another part of my day working with finance or accounting. So to me personally, I kind of love that part of the role. But your question was really about, like, understanding kind of how you establish processes and kind of how you make sure that the team is successful. And I really do think it comes down to kind of thinking about accountabilities. So what is it that, where does product marketing's role start in an organization? And then where does it end in an organization? And I think that's critically important, because you can imagine, because there's so much similarities, if you want to say that, between product marketing and product management, well, geez, if you're not really clear in terms of kind of where product marketing starts and where product management ends, you can imagine some of the tension you'd have to work through and probably spend so much time kind of clearing up before you really get down to actually being able to deliver the work. And that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum simply is, like, the go-to-market teams and thinking about the channels and kind of understanding where the balance is between, you know, what a product marketer does and how deep they go into kind of some of the channel execution. And again, like, if I'm being honest, I think, you know, we're working through this in real time. But I would say just making sure you're very clear on where the role starts and ends. In my mind, like I said, product marketing is responsible for thinking about customers. And obviously, that's kind of the first tenet of the role itself. So I think that's super, super important. Now, my view is product management also has a very big focus in that as well. And again, it'll depend on the organization. But making sure that the customer is at the center of both of those functions is very important. So that's your starting point. Making sure that both product management and product marketing understand that the customer is shared, and making sure that the customer research work, the customer discovery work is kind of shared between both product marketing and product management. So product management can solve the problems, and product marketing can build the story that talks about how the product is solving those problems. And then, like I said, on the strategy side of things and kind of developing a game plan for the channels, it really is thinking about things like, how much should you spend in terms of acquiring customers? Where are your customers? So not necessarily, you know, telling the channels how to particularly operate in those channels, but more specifically, you know, understanding where your customers are. You know, if your customers are spending all of their time on Facebook, it wouldn't really make a lot of sense in spending your money on LinkedIn. So it's just making sure that you understand exactly kind of where your starts are and where your ends are. And again, that's going to depend very on by organization, but I think that's really critical to just making sure that the team gets off on the right foot.
And then just on like the customer piece right there, just going to go a little bit deeper there. What do you think product marketing's role is part of like the customer, right? Are you talking specifically about like, is it about them just talking to customers and getting insights and working with product management? Is it about like, you know, taking a more strategic approach, balancing both, you know, solving customer problems and like business requirements? You know, what's your take specifically on that? Especially if you're an organization already that maybe is already like customer centric.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, again, it's a really great question. And I think my view and kind of how I've worked with my team and kind of how I've worked with product management is to just make sure it's very clear that we're kind of on this discovery journey together. And that I don't think there's, you know, there's so much value for us to be kind of hand in hand and kind of thinking about customers. So, you know, I really do think it lends itself to more of the strategic side of things. So like thinking about things like customer discovery and having kind of understanding kind of how and what customers do, just really kind of thinking about how they purchase product or how they purchase products in your category. What are they thinking about? How do they operate when they're going through those purchasing decisions? You know, product management might certainly be interested in some of those things, but you can understand where that maybe fits more into the product marketing angle. And again, it's just those types of things that allow the coordination between product marketing, product management, and obviously development teams to make sure that you're building the right experiences. But, you know, discovery and kind of thinking about purchase mapping and what that looks like, you know, that's one thing. There's obviously macro research and kind of your broad-based research that you want to do to just understand, you know, what are customers looking for and more of the macro things before diving in and going a little bit more narrow to kind of understand what some of those situations are. So again, product marketing will have a very huge, very significant role in that. Product management, maybe you might be interested or maybe not so much. They may be focused on other things. But I do think like, you know, the sources of customer discovery and kind of how you lend itself is going to be vary by organization. Some organizations might have sales representatives where you're spending a lot of time talking to sales reps. I don't operate in that world right now. We are really more on the self-serve side, B2C side. So there's not really a sales team that I spend a whole lot of time with, but that could be very relevant for an area of input for understanding kind of how customers are shopping, the questions that they're asking. So again, it's going to very depend on how you kind of go to market and how you go to market with your product. But it really is kind of balancing and understanding what your customers think, obviously about the product and the category, what their problems are, and then developing strategies around going after and tackling that.
And then I think just one of the last questions before we kind of switch gears on the topic here is just when it comes to like the product marketing function, obviously having experience like leading the team there, how do you think about like hiring for this function and like what specifically are you looking for? And maybe for any listener that's maybe interested in moving to product marketing as an example, what are the skills they should be working on?
Yeah. So, I mean, from the skills perspective, my perspective on kind of skills kind of bucket themselves into kind of three or four areas. Number one, I'm looking for somebody who can be a strategic thinker. So really, really broad level, kind of the ability to go out and understand and develop and identify big insights that customers are through customer discovery that can allow us to think about our go-to-market strategies that might affect how we develop our products or how we think about kind of operating in our channels. The next one, and I think is critically important to be able to do that, is obviously customer empathy. So like, how do we find ways to get connected to customers? And again, it'll vary from organization to organization, but really having the ability and the openness to say, you know, I want to get closer to my customer is super, super important. And demonstrating skills that people have the willingness to do that or have already done that is, again, something that I'm looking for. And then really, if you think about kind of being able to get stuff done, you know, there's two really big elements that I'm looking for. Number one, can you really bring a product to market? So like, do you have the skills and have you done things like understanding segmentation and targeting and how you think about messaging and some of those core areas that we talked about, positioning and how you kind of develop the right positioning map to bring out to customers? And are you telling the story in the right way? Obviously, I'm looking for that skill set as well. And then, you know, I talked a little bit about how product marketing basically works across the entire organization. And I'm looking for people who have that skill set. So obviously collaboration is so broad, but, you know, effectively I'm looking for an individual or individuals who will be able to kind of manage such a ambiguous network of teams. Like I said, who can spend some time talking to product management one day and finance and accounting the other day. So that's kind of what I think about in terms of hiring the role, hiring for, or looking for candidates in terms of what skills they may possess. But as I think about building the team, obviously it's going to depend. You know, if you're single product focused and you obviously aren't having, you don't have a large team or aren't looking to build a large team, and all you really need is one person, you're going to be looking for a generalist who has the ability to kind of do a lot of those things. Or if you have multiple product functions, you might want to actually think about kind of obviously resourcing generalists across all those product functions. If you have really large organizations, you might think about structuring the team from the perspective of like bringing people in that might be focusing on messaging and positioning, competitive analysis, or some of those things that can obviously support the entire team. I don't have a large team like that. So as I think about bringing people into the organization, obviously I look for those skill sets. That's important. The ability to think, kind of be able to go broad across the elements and the core elements of what product marketing is. But I think what's important to me is bringing in individuals who can also go deep in certain areas and bringing in a broad set of that, those individuals into the team, because I think that's what fosters collaboration. So obviously I want someone who looks and has the skills and was able to do some of the work that I talked about, but I also might look at somebody who I might bring into the organization and say, wow, this person has a really strong experience in messaging. Or I might be looking at it saying, this person has a really deep experience in customer empathy and driving some of that kind of some of that customer research work. Or I might be looking at saying, hey, I need somebody who's got more of a business model mindset and can think about different business models. The important thing about that is obviously these people can be broad, but they can also be deep. And I think that that depth and the uniqueness of that depth can obviously then just drive collaboration across the entire team so that we can learn off each other and feed off each other. I mean, gosh, product marketing is so new. I think, you know, people are learning more and more about the field every day, and whether it's things about pricing or like some of the other things I talked about, I think that's really valuable for bringing and building a product marketing team. Otherwise, what you can have, what can happen is it can be somewhat isolating. You know, if anybody's only focused on one individual product, you might not be able to drive the collaboration that you're looking for. And again, obviously that's not going to be successful in terms of kind of building out individual strengths and development and obviously making the function stronger across the organization. So a bit of a long-winded answer, but I think it's critically important. So I wanted to make sure I shared all of that.
Amazing answer. Some really, really like interesting insights there, like overall. And then I think on kind of switching gears a little bit here, as you go into the back part of this, like this episode, you know, obviously we're in a very interesting time right now. You know, obviously the economy, where the economy slowed down, we're dealing with the pandemic. We're having a little, we can see it across the board around like pure like business disruption overall. And a lot of companies, depending on what industry you're in, are affected more than others. You know, as we think about like, you're thinking about call it building like the right foundational like business strategy to have like sustainable, like hot, like to create like high growth businesses. I think specifically on first, like the marketing end, like where do you, like, I guess the one question I have is like, what do you see right now with maybe the issues in marketing in like 2020, and how do you think it might need to change as we potentially come through, you know, we might be going through as an economy, like a pretty, you know, bad recession overall. And how do you think businesses should be starting to think about that? Because in a lot of ways, marketing is what kind of like fuels like your growth from an acquisition perspective.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And gosh, it's so broad that, again, it feels like this could probably be a whole other podcast. So let me start by trying to isolate right now, obviously, what the world is dealing with, because I think in a lot of ways, that might be part of a separate answer in terms of kind of how we think about the future from kind of what we're at now. I think that the one area you talked about was sustainability and kind of thinking about sustainable businesses. And you know, obviously, there is no magic wand here. And I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in this area. But I think we've seen some interesting examples of companies who have made some what now appear to be pretty large mistakes. You know, you think about Casper and their recent kind of IPO filing. You know, I think a company like Blue Apron went through similar things where they've kind of looked at their ability to acquire customers and spent so much time on acquisition and so much money in acquisition. And as you think about kind of their perspectives and how they thought about their business, they kind of made some really bold assumptions about decreasing cost of acquisition and kind of how that was going to materialize over a period of time. And it's not to say that that's not going to happen, but when you build businesses and when you build kind of future looking profit statements on kind of that ability, those are pretty big bets. And I think, you know, fundamentally, in a lot of ways, you know, once you develop a really solid cost of acquisition, you know, Facebook like isn't really getting cheaper to advertise on. And these channels aren't really getting cheaper to advertise on. And now everybody's got access to the same type of information and data analytics platforms. So you know, cost of acquisition is something that is so difficult to continue to refine and optimize and optimize. Now, again, that's going to depend on the organization that you work for, where you are in your growth trajectory. So there's so much that goes into that. And obviously, that's not, I'm not trying to paint everybody with the same brush. But when you look at a lot of those organizations, they were spending a lot of money to acquire customers. And that obviously just wasn't allowing them to be sustainable. Obviously, if you had issues, if they have issues on some of the retention side, continuing to spend in high cost to bring customers into the organization on purchase behavior, in some cases that might not actually be that frequent, it's a very difficult proposition. So I think, again, like I said, I'm no expert here, but I would certainly make sure that organizations take a step back and really look at some of those kind of key metrics. You know, the general principle is that there's two truths. Cost of acquisition is going up and willingness to pay will go down. Again, that's a broad statement and it doesn't apply to every organization, but I think you've got to have a very critical lens when you look at kind of things like that. And you, especially as you kind of look at the horizons of your business and kind of what big assumptions you're making, you just want to steer clear of kind of making those kind of what could be very difficult assumptions and having a very critical eye there.
Yeah, I think you touched on like really like interesting issue, right? Like, you know, we've got to this world now where it's almost like acquisition and marketing spends become like a little bit of a drug and then you become addicted to it. And I think you brought up a really good point around like being so focused around acquisition. So let me ask you this on the flip side is like, what do you think if you were starting a business or a business right now, what are like the metrics you should be looking at? Because it seems like it's very focused on like, you know, acquisition metrics. And it seems like there's a massive gap right now on is trying to think about that sustainability. Like what to you are the most important metrics that really matter?
Yeah. And again, like this is really going to depend on the use case of your product. So, you know, right now I have an experience right now with a product that's use case really is effectively yearly, where, you know, we service customers and deliver the value proposition on a yearly basis. There's other products that are the far end of the spectrum that deliver proposition and connect people to the propositions on a daily basis, if not a more frequent basis than that, on a minute by minute basis. So it really is going to depend on kind of where you are in that kind of framework about how much engagement you have with your customers. Are you kind of just a once a year or maybe even further than that? If you think about maybe, you know, realtor companies where people buy houses on a much, much more infrequent basis than yearly or even car, you know, it really is going to depend. So, you know, in some cases, acquisition is really kind of the most important thing. If you think about companies that operate on kind of a very long horizon of kind of when they engage with customers, you might be able to argue that acquisition is the only thing that's important because, you know, if you are have a frequency of customer engagement that's kind of longer than, let's say, a quarter or a year or multiple years, then frankly, you might be looking at acquiring your customers on a consistent basis. And retention is almost something that you're actually not really considering. So, you know, that's one aspect of it. On the flip side of that is if you're delivering proposition and you're delivering value on a kind of a daily basis or a weekly basis or a monthly basis, then certainly things like retention are going to be so much more important to you. Now, again, this is, I'm going to assume in most cases, going to be connected to your business model. Are you charging people on a transactional basis? Are you charging people on kind of a recurring subscription basis? And those are, again, very different variables to kind of understand and think about where you're going to prioritize and focus. But certainly the answer and the question is broad. I think it all is going to come down to thinking about effectively what your strategy is. I'm not saying that, you know, cost of acquisition larger than maybe an immediate payback is a bad thing. I think if you have a strategy that's going to deliver value to the organization and kind of thinking about things like LTV and kind of long horizons, if that's a strategy that you're going to play in, then yeah, you might want to spend a lot of money up front. But I think you've got to be really solid on that before you go out and, like I said, get addicted to kind of investing money in channels. It is a bit of a drug to some organizations when you're thinking about growth at all costs and kind of this hyper growth world we've been in. I always think that, you know, you always have to have a keen eye and understanding and looking at your strategy and saying, does this make strategic sense today? And more importantly, is this going to make strategic sense to us in 3 years or 5 years or 10 years as you think about the sustainability of your business? So I know I talked about that in general terms, Greg, and I think that's the best answer I can give you just given how broad that is. But certainly something that I think each individual, you know, listening to this podcast, depending on the business, is going to want to take a step back and think about, you know, what is most important and is this type of investment that I'm making in some of these paid marketing channels, is it actually going to be fruitful for me in the long term? I think is something that I would certainly think that people should go away and think about.
And then just on that, like on that point, you know, when you think about like what the business model is, you talked a little bit about this earlier, right? It could be like if it's transactional ad model, like recurring revenue, you know, in your eyes, is there a model that you think is the holy grail to more sustainability, or do you think it's this more like this it depends approach depending on like your product, the problem you're solving for in the business?
Yeah, I think, again, I kind of feel like I've said this a bunch of times, but I do really think it depends. You know, we've seen really, really successful companies on any one of those things we've talked about. Subscription basis, transactional basis, you know, a basis that, you know, is ad driven or kind of not beyond kind of a user actually paying for the service. And I think it really varies. I would say, you know, my view is, as you think about, you know, ad models, gosh, you better be first in a lot of those cases, because I think oftentimes, if you think about it, the companies that are first and the companies that grow the fastest are typically the only ones who can drive the type of growth that's really needed and the user base that's needed. And the reason for that is obviously you're dealing on, in most cases, really small kind of average revenue per users in the most, in the ad business, right? Like in ad-based businesses, you might be talking about revenue per users in $5 or $10, but your user bases are massive. So if you're going to build a company that's going to target or go after a similar segment, you just have to just know and understand that and ask yourself, really, do customers need two of these things? Do you actually solve a different problem? And can you be successful by, you know, having such a small user base? The business model in mind's got to change. On the flip side, and going kind of all the way to the other end, is a transactional basis. In most cases, depending if you're B2B or B2C, typically transactional businesses have fairly large transactions. Not obviously the case in all cases. And, you know, e-commerce would be different examples. You're looking at maybe frequency rather than size. But in some cases, if you think about buying a car, you think about car companies, well, you can understand why they're the amount of money they invest to acquire customers might be so large, because the cost and the outlay there is obviously so significant. So, you know, again, like I said, it really does depend. Do I think there's an easy answer to that question? I don't. You know, obviously right now we're seeing kind of the subscription economy take hold, and that's certainly an area where, you know, I know a lot of money in Silicon Valley has gone over the last little while and people are looking at that, and I definitely think it has its merit. But I think you really got to step back and think to yourself, how frequently am I delivering the proposition and the value that I say to customers? How frequently am I delivering that? If I'm delivering it on a basis that is not on a daily, or in some cases, if you think about, you know, social networks, on a potentially minute by minute basis, well, then you're probably going to want to stay away from things like ad-based models and maybe look more on the subscription-based models. Or if it's really infrequent, looking at transactional models. And again, there's nothing wrong with any one model. You just got to find the right thing that works for you and the right thing that works for your product and the right thing that works for your customer. Companies and organizations are trying to kind of move between two different models. And I think, you know, obviously companies have had varying success of their ability to do that and kind of how they increase frequency and usage of the products. You know, that's something that I know more companies are exploring, and something that I think, if it fits into, you know, kind of how your customers use your product or other value you can deliver the customer, then maybe it's something that that your organization might want to look into as well.
And I think one kind of last, you know, question I have here, you know, before we like to kind of wrap things up on the podcast, is just going specifically to talk about like those use cases. Do you think it's like, in your opinion, the problem you're solving for is, you've identified that it's a very low use case, or it could be a high use case, whatever it is, or do you think that you could fundamentally change that over time and really kind of change the trajectory? Or do you think it's like really, really hard? Like, you can't fundamentally shift the problem you're solving for and try to force it from, like, as an example, a very low frequency over to something that's high frequency? Or do you think that that is something that you can be successful at fairly easily?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say anything's impossible, but certain things are certainly more difficult. And I think, you know, taking a product as it is and trying to move the frequency of transaction is not the easiest thing to do. Because if I'm willing to engage with you on a quarterly basis or on a yearly basis, and you want to try to charge me a fee that maybe is amortized on a monthly basis, it's going to be very difficult to try and move, kind of like I said, from a transactional to maybe a subscription basis. Is it impossible? Absolutely not. And have there been companies that have been successful in trying those things? From what I can gather, yeah, there absolutely are. I mean, one example that jumps to mind is maybe TripAdvisor. You know, TripAdvisor, typically low frequency, people only travel maybe once or twice a year, but they've added additional elements to their product. And I think that's what's key, is finding what additional elements and additional value triggers you can bring to your product that allows you to kind of stretch that frequency or contract that frequency into something that'll happen more often. So now on TripAdvisor, you're not just reading reviews. You might be looking at, you might be looking at booking travel. You might be doing a whole bunch of different things and engaging in kind of these forums that gets you connected to that particular product on a more frequent basis. So again, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm saying it's not the easiest thing. I think it's really going to depend on the product and how you're developing the product and what the vision is. And again, making sure that you're delivering that payoff on a regular basis. And especially if you're going to think about a more frequent payment process or a more frequent pricing scheme like subscriptions or monthly recurring revenue, you're just going to want to make sure that you deliver the value on a fairly regular basis in order to make that transition.
Just on that real fast is you sparked another thought around just talking about like specifically around business models. Are you someone that believes in like, you know, business models can change over time, or, you know, it's really important to figure that out from like the very beginning? Or, you know, if you do, like that's an example, if you've given away something for free and now you want to, and now you want to charge for that, like, you know, from a customer perspective, you know, you might get a lot of backlash and you might see like a lot of churn as an example, you know? So like, what is your take specifically on like thinking about like just business model innovation and how you think it, like how the model should change over time?
Yeah. I think it's absolutely possible. And I think you're seeing some successful examples of that right now. Look at Apple as an example. And again, they're so big, it's kind of hard for, you know, folks to kind of relate to how large that organization is. But, and I'm not saying their model is completely different, but you can imagine if we talked about Apple 6, 10, 15 years ago, you would look at them as effectively a hardware first company, you know, making sure that they're getting hardware out. Again, that's infrequent purchase behavior. That's very different business model that's associated with that. And now you can see, obviously, they've been able to successfully penetrate the market with, you know, obviously smartphones and computers, personal computers, that now they've actually shifted more towards like this subscription basis and that's kind of a really great example that they're now really a service company. They've gone from hardware to services. Are they all the way down that journey? I don't think so. And clearly they're operating both and very successful at doing that. So, you look at that example and you absolutely think it's possible. It's certainly not easy. It took Apple, obviously, an example, years to be able to do that. But I don't think it's impossible. I think you really got to find out, what your customers are looking for you to deliver and what opportunities they give you as you kind of develop deeper relationships with them.
Amazing. And I think this has been full of insights from product marketing to call it business model innovation that I think our listeners are going to get a ton of value out of. And I think they're probably asking themselves when they listen to this, like, how do I contact Anthony? So if someone's out there right now, they're like, I need to get Anthony, you know, I need to message him or I need to give him, I want to have an interesting conversation because he just has so many insights. Like, how would someone try to contact you for that?
Well, if that's the case, then that's great. I look forward to connecting on LinkedIn. I think that's probably the best place to reach me. You know, I've been looking at trying to find ways to kind of get myself out there and get a little bit more kind of out there in terms of things like using different platforms and like that. It's just something that I haven't been able to cover right now. So definitely find me on LinkedIn. I'm always open to having these types of conversations. Obviously, very interested in meeting new people, specifically product marketers out there. Like I said, such a kind of a new and growing field. And obviously we do so many different things. So if anyone's looking to connect and, you know, spend some time chatting for 30 minutes, an hour or more, I'm more than willing to kind of engage in some of that and learn more about some of the exciting things that people are working on. So LinkedIn's probably the best place to find me.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, again, thanks for taking the time and coming on the podcast. I'm super excited to put this episode out there. I think we're going to have a lot of great feedback overall. And yeah, thanks for coming on.
Great. Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it. We'll